If you have your Bible, turn to Revelation 13 with me tonight, please. Revelation chapter number 13. Verse number 16. Revelation 13, 16. Written 2,000 years ago, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the number of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. And his number is 666. Father, bless this holy book now. In thy name I pray. Amen. Now, folks, I'm going to talk to you tonight about September. We're a week away from September. I would be remiss as my responsibility as a pastor if I did not. The Bible tells me in the book of Hebrews that I watch for your souls as one that must give an account. So I have to give an account. I'll have to give an account for the truth that I get out. I'm going to try my best tonight to make sense of a lot of the things that are coming, and they're coming quickly. How many of you are aware now? I've mentioned it two or three times today. How many of you are aware that the stock market is in free fall right now? Some of you aren't. Some of you are. There's been about 3 or 4 days of it, and it's continuing to drop. They're watching very closely tomorrow morning. When the New York Stock Exchange opens, before the New York Stock Exchange opens, they'll be opening up in the middle in the east because they're far ahead of us, and they'll be watching very carefully what happens there. Believe it or not, whether you have anything invested in stocks, the stock market has an effect on you. It's going to affect you. And none of us in this house tonight are controlling millions and billions of dollars. I don't reckon. I sure don't. But the people that do watch the stock market. And they're the ones who control what buys and sells out there, folks. Always remember this. Rich men write the laws. And if you read the book of James, that's right. You read the book of James, and James talks about how that rich men oppress you. Now, I'm not in here tonight to run people down because they're rich. But I am here tonight to tell you that money speaks in this world. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And so some folks live and die for money, and that's all it's about. It's money. The fact of the matter is, when you go into the most churches in America today, that's all you hear about. It's money. Prosperity, 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 prosperity. But in any event, the Bible says in Revelation 13 that a one-world system is coming. A one-world economic system, a one-world religious system, a one-world military system. It's all one world, and it's coming. What we need to do tonight is to find out how close it is. And so I want to give you 33 things. I'm going to run through them quickly. I'm going to spend a little bit of time on some of them because they're very important. But I'm going to go through 33 things that an attorney, his name is Michael Snyder, this lawyer, he's a Christian, has drawn up these things, and he's taken time to compile them. And he's put it out on the internet and said, I'm going to go through these with you. I want you to listen carefully to what's happening. As I've said to you before, these things are dovetailing. They're all coming together in the month of September. That's quite a thing. It's quite remarkable. I believe the signs of the second advent of Christ are like that. We've always had earthquakes. We've always had false Christ. We've always had all these things it talks about in Matthew 24. We've always had them. But what happens is that when they all come together, it's when they're coming together, I believe, is the key to understanding it. So tonight, let's start with number one. This marks September the 1st. It marks the beginning of FEMA's annual National Preparedness Month. FEMA, you know who that is. They showed you how capable they were when Hurricane Katrina came through New Orleans. September the 11th is the 14th anniversary, 7 plus 7, of 9/11. September the 11th is the last day of trading on Wall Street before the end of the Shemata year. Now, what's a Shemata year? A Shemata year is a year that comes every seventh year. It's a year of rest. Seven times seven is 49 years. The 50th year is the Jubilee. Yes. When the trumpet is blown. September the 12th, Madonna Rebel Heart Tour opens in the United States. The first stop is Washington, D.C., and according to the Holly Deo, the opening theme is desecration of the bride and arrival of fallen angels. Needless to say, Madonna is not an apologist for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. September the 12th and 13th, Rabbi Chaim Konevsky, a leading authority in ultra-Orthodox Judaism, has indicated the Messiah the Jewish people are expecting could come at this time. September the 13th, the last day of the Shemata year. During the last two Shemata cycles, we witnessed record-breaking stock market crashes on the very last day of the Shemata year. For example, if you go back to September the 17th, 2001, we witnessed the greatest one-day stock market crash in all of U.S. history. Up until that time, the Dow plunged 684 points, was a record that held for exactly 7 years till the end of the next Shemata cycle on September the 29th, 2008. You all know what happened in 2008. The Dow plummeted at 777 points. My. 777. Which still today remains the greatest one-day stock market crash of all time in the United States. Now we are in another Shemata year. It began in the fall 2014, ends in September the 13th, 2015. September the 13th is a partial solar eclipse. September the 14th is Rosh Hashanah. That's New Year. That's what that means. September the 14th, the first day of trading on Wall Street after the end of the Shemata year. September the 15th, listen carefully. September the 15th, just a little over 2 weeks from now, the 70th session of the United General Assembly, UN General Assembly, begins on this date. It has been widely reported that France plans to introduce a resolution which will give formal UN Security Council recognition to a Palestinian state shortly after the new session begins. Up until now, the U.S. has always been the one blocking such a resolution, but Barack Obama has already indicated that things may be different this time around. It would be extremely difficult to overstate the significance of this. They're taking the holy land and handing it over to a pagan. September the 15th, the Jade Helm military exercises are scheduled to end. Jade Helm is a joint exercise of the military to on the surface of it is to go into the cities and teach them how to deal with civil unrest. On the surface of it, an awful lot of people in this country think that Jade Helm is a preview of what's coming. But in any event, you've heard of Jade Helm. September the 17th, if there's going to be a rate hike in September, this is probably when the Federal Reserve will do it. September the 17th again, this is the deadline for Congress to vote on Obama's deal with Iran, where they're handing them a nuclear weapon, which in the process of doing that, they are condemning Israel. So not only are they going to take land away from Israel and create a pagan state, they're going to hand to a pagan country an atomic bomb. September the 17th, Constitution Day. Most Americans do not even know that this holiday exists. Well, the government doesn't care anything about it, so why should they? September the 18th, the Days of Awe Conference in Sandpoint, Idaho. Christians from all over the nation will be gathering to call out to God in prayer and to repent for the sins of our country. September the 18th, God bless them. September the 20th through the 26th, the World Week for Peace in Palestine, Israel, sponsored by the World Council of Churches. Just put away in the back of your mind that the World Council of Churches is a godless, apostate piece of poison. Amen. September the 21st, this is when the Hajj, pilgrimage to Mecca, is projected to begin September the 21st, the UN International Day of Peace. September the 22nd, in Islam, the Day of Arafat falls on this day. September the 23rd, the last day of summer. September the 23rd, Yom Kippur, that's the Day of Atonement. That is absolutely the most holy day in the Jewish calendar. September the 23rd, the Muslim holiday of Eid al-Adha, also known as the Feast of the Sacrifice, begins. September the 23rd, watch carefully, Pope Francis arrives at the White House to meet with Barack Obama. September the 23rd, the 266th Pope will be meeting with the President of the United States of America on the 266th day of the year. Some have suggested that something is being birthed on that day, since 266 days is the average length of the human gestation period. My. September the 24th, the Pope addresses a joint session of the U.S. Congress. That's never happened before. September the 25th, on May the 14th, 2014, French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius famously proclaimed that we had only 500 days to avoid climate chaos. His time frame of 500 days ends on September the 25th. September the 25th, the Pope will hold Mass in Madison Square Garden in New York City. September the 25th to September the 27th, the United Nations, now listen carefully, the United Nations launches a brand new universal agenda for humanity known as the 2030 Agenda. Now, how many of you have heard of Agenda 21? This is Agenda 21 on steroids. All you have to do, and I've got it right here, this is a good expose on what's going on with 2030. This lays out in detail their plans for a one world government. What they want to do is take all the people in the world, take them off of their expanded properties out here and their ranches and all of that, and gather them together into cities where they can be controlled. According to these one worlders, we've got too many people on earth. We got too many useless eaters. We got too many human weeds. We got too many mud people. Do you know where all this stuff came from? This came from Charles Darwin through Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood, that has 80% of its murdering abortion clinics in black neighborhoods. And now just recently, black pastors in this country, God bless them to their credit, are standing up and they are saying, hold on, you are engaged in black genocide. You're killing off our people. And they are. And these are the patronizing, condescending elitist in the country who think that they are head and shoulders above you and above the law. And you're watching that play out before your very eyes right now with Hillary and her email server. You're seeing that attitude as it's manifested for the whole world to see. And the fourth estate, as I've told you before, the fourth estate is very important. The first estate is the church. The second estate is the nobility. The third estate is peons. That's us, you know. And the fourth estate is the news media. The reason the news media is so powerful is because they control thinking of the people. They have a profound influence on what you receive in the news and the way they spin it and give it out to you. Political correctness would die tomorrow if the news media did not keep beating its drums. The news media is the great evangelist in this country of political correctness, the fourth estate. And so what we're having in this nation right now are people who have been brainwashed through decades of receiving Darwinism and they can't even make an analytical examination of anything. And they've gotten to the point now where they are in a dumbed down stupor, because the only thing that most people in the country want now is to be entertained. They want to be amused. You know what the word amuse means? You know what the word muse means? Muse means to think. Amuse means don't think. So I thought it meant entertain. It doesn't have anything to do with entertainment. It has to do with sitting you in front of a box or a screen or something and literally taking control of your mind and putting it in a passive state, and it thinks for you. And what it's doing is brainwashing you all the time. And you're constantly being fed day in and day out on a constantly. You're being fed this new world order garbage, and the country's ready for it. Give me an example. We had people come to this church this morning. They sit down and they sit through Sunday school. Now, if you're not used to Sunday school here at Temple in this class, then you're in for a shock. Boy, were they shocked. Because, you know, I started teaching as I always do, giving all these facts and trying to give them a contemporary examination of where we are and all that, and the Antichrist. Now, here's what made them mad. They expect to go into a church and the church be completely detached from the world they live in. And they want to go in this little religious place and feel good. That's what they want. They want to go in there and feel good. And so when they go in there and what they hear in there is more than they're going to hear from the news media, it makes them mad because it does not fit into the scenario they've got in their mind. Here's the scenario. Those people in that church house are stupid. They're dumb. They're just a bunch of religious kooks. They don't know anything. I get my news from UT. I get my news from ABC. I get my news from the news media. This is what they think. And if I go into a church house and lo and behold, I hear them talking about more stuff than I get on the news media, it makes me mad because it makes me examine my life. And it makes me look at myself and say, hold on, maybe I'm not right. And they don't like that because that begins to move them in their comfort zone. And the church of God of all people is supposed to be the light of the world, salt of the earth. Is not the church supposed to be that? Are not we the pillar and ground of the truth? But that's anything but that. And that's sad. Our people say that, they say, preacher, I was talking to some pastors the other day and brought up CERN and brought up some of these things, and they didn't have a clue what I was talking about. And they're probably good men. But they don't know what's going on. Now, nothing may happen in September, folks, but I don't believe that. I believe something's going to happen in September. I believe enough is going to happen in September that's going to have a profound effect on our lives. And it may be enough to fire us up for the second coming of Christ. I'd like to see people get excited about the Lord coming back. I really would, because I am. I'm excited about it. The only thing down here is death and dying. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. So, Agenda 2030, September 25th. The Pope appears at the UN to deliver an address to kick off the conference at which the 2030 agenda will be unveiled. September the 26th and 27th, the Pope will be traveling to Philadelphia for the 2015 World Meeting of Families. September the 28th, the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. September the 28th. Listen carefully now. This is the date for the last of the four blood moons that fall on biblical festival days during 2014 and 15. Yeah. This blood moon will be a supermoon, and it will be clearly visible from the city of Jerusalem. Due to the ending of the Shemitah year and numerous other factors, there is rampant speculation that a stock market crash is going to happen in the United States during the month of September. Previously, I have expressed my view that a major global financial crisis is imminent, but my warning covers all of the remaining months of 2015. Since I cannot prove that a stock market crash will happen next month, I have left it off the list. But without a doubt, we are entering the danger zone. There is also lots of speculation about unusual activity at the Large Hadron Collider. Now, how many of you know what that is? CERN, Switzerland. Unusual activity. There's a lot of speculation about unusual activity. They're cranking it up now. They're cranking it up. They're pouring more power to it. In my research, I have not yet come across anything that confirms that. If you have solid information concerning this, please send to me. But certainly what they are doing with a large Hadron Collider concerns me greatly. This is something I covered in a previous article entitled, "Will the Large Hadron Collider Open Up a Portal to Another Dimension?" Now imagine this all coming together in September. In addition, I am also aware that there's tremendous amount of speculation about an asteroid or meteor that may or may not be heading toward our planet next month. At this time, I have no way of proving this is true. I have no way of disproving it either. I have not come across anything that I can independently verify that indicates that this will or will not happen. In law school, I was trained to stick to the facts, and I don't have any facts. If you have some solid and verifiable information, please share it with me. Finally, I would like to acknowledge that there is plenty of speculation about certain natural disasters that may happen in September. They may indeed happen, but I cannot prove anything of that nature right now, so I have left those natural disasters off the list. Needless to say, next month promises to be absolutely crazy, and our time for preparing is running out. Disaster can strike very suddenly. When it does, average citizens can be caught totally unprepared. This is the point that Carl Gallups, the author of a new book entitled Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution in Times of Trouble, recently made during an interview with WorldNet Daily. Gallups identifies specific incidents when civil society collapsed, most notably in New Orleans immediately following Hurricane Katrina. "You ended up with the worst of both worlds," he observed. "You had widespread criminality, anarchy, and disorder, and somehow, at the same time, you had government officials going around enforcing wildly tyrannical guidelines and even confiscating firearms. As a result, Americans may be forced to rely on themselves for protection, meaning Christians have to begin planning now. Even if it doesn't happen next month, life in America is about to change dramatically. The infrastructure and government services that we've all come to take for granted may not be there in the future." So he's cautious. He's a smart man. A smart man would be cautious at a time like this, but a smart man would also be watching for what's coming. There are those who've committed themselves, and are saying that the rapture is going to take place in September. Some say the 23rd of September. I don't say that. I don't say that at all, because the Bible does not give us authority to set a date. And every date setter I've ever seen, obviously, has always been wrong. And once they set the date and it doesn't happen, then they lose all credibility. From that moment on, they don't care anything about anything they have to say. So what are we going to do? We're going to watch. And I would advise this. I would advise laying up a little food, a little extra food, and prepare, for you never know what's liable to happen. Let me give you a warning about what the Bible does say is going to happen. Now, this is going to happen. Before the Lord catches his bride up in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, he says there's going to come a falling away first. How many believe a falling away has taken place? That's an apostasy. Absolutely. But the next statement is this, that the man of sin, the son of perdition, is revealed. Now then, what it forces us tonight to say, well, now, has anybody been revealed to you that would fit and qualify as the Antichrist? You know, up until this latest one up there, I had never really seen anybody I thought would do that, would qualify for that. But this one does. This one does. He qualifies in every sense of the word, because he's a Muslim, he is an Antichrist, and everything that he's done since he's been in office has been anti-Israel. And he said some profound things about the Bible, made fun of it, mocked it. And those of you who believe the Bible, therefore you understand his position on Scripture. And now what he's doing is handing a nuclear weapon to Iran. He's handing to this Muslim world power they didn't have before. And if he continues down the path he's going, he's going to run out of time as the president. But that may very well be the time when he becomes the man of sin. When he runs out of time as the president. It could be. Or it could be that when the rapture takes place and comes and the Lord comes and catches us up, that everything is accelerated at that moment, and that may be the moment that he becomes the man of sin. The Antichrist has two distinct parts to his life. The first part is that he is the man of sin for 3.5 years. Then he's the son of perdition. According to the scripture, he has a deadly wound. And then the deadly wound is healed. And when the deadly wound is healed, the whole world marvels at the beast and says, "Who can make war against the beast?" Therefore, he comes forth from the dead. That means to me that when he rises from the dead, that he is literally Satan incarnate. And for the last 3.5 years of his time on this earth, he is the very devil in flesh. That's what your Antichrist is going to be. Now, if you're not born again, you're going to be here. Some of the biggest names in this country now are embracing sodomy. They're embracing it. Sometimes they do it with soft speech and they accommodate it, and then they come out and openly for it. There's a lot of ways to do that. But they're embracing it. And I'm, as I said before, and I feel like this is a message from God for me to get out however I can do it. If you embrace sodomy, you will take the mark. And the reason for that is because you've received the spirit of this age. And that's the spirit of this age is Antichrist. The spirit of the government of the United States of America is Antichrist. The military has been turned on its head. There are many good people in the military. There are many Christians, officers, and enlisted men in the military, and women, no doubt about that. But the leadership of the military is literally gutting. The generals have been taken out, and it's being changed into this morphed thing that embraces sodomy. And folks, if you embrace sodomy, you'll take the mark. And so that's where we are. That's where we are tonight. And what do we do tonight then? I look for the Lord to come back. That's what I look for. Those of you in my Sunday school class, did this thing come flying off of here? This thing on the Pope, those of you in Sunday school, you've already heard this. But those of you that don't come to my Sunday school class, you need to hear this. Pope Francis endorses evolution of alien life and UFO activity as part of God's plan. This is written by Dr. Michael Sala, October the 28th, 2014. And it goes into how that the Pope, current Pope, Pope Francis, says that if you believe that the creator of the Old Testament is an absolute, eternal, almighty being, you are simplistic. He says that a demiurge or something of that nature is the God of the Old Testament. And that the true God is some kind of a force spirit out here, out there, that's going to come and communicate with us through aliens. And when he comes to communicate with us through aliens, he's going to show us how that a gospel that we're preaching and the Bible that we believe in is all messed up. And that they are superior to us morally. And that they have a message to give us and they've got a gospel for us that is much better than the gospel in the Bible. Now, it's all here. This is what this man's preaching. And that when they come to give us this message, this gospel, then they're going to lift the world up out of its doldrums and raise us to a higher plane in our evolutionary process that all started with Darwin. And on and on and on and on and on it goes. And so when this Pope comes, I just want to put this out for you tonight, then I'll be done. When this Pope comes to get up in front of the United Nations and then get up in front of the Congress of the United States, he may be bold enough to make statements like that about the scriptures. I don't know, who knows? You'll have to hear him and see. He may be. He may feel like that the time is now when he can do that and that people will get in behind him and support that. Because the average American, you know as well as I do, they know nothing about the Bible, very little about scripture. And so it's dumb as bricks and dumb as a coal bucket, right?
Sir.
You don't get any dumber than a coal bucket. Pardon? Isn't that sad, folks? That's sad. I've given you out a lot of stuff tonight. I'm not sad about leaving this earth. I'm not. Not a bit. Not one bit sad. I mean, really, if we could finish this building up and get it spick and span, shining, beautiful and all that, and then the Lord raptures us out, I'd hand the key to the Antichrist.
Amen.
As I went up. Here it is, son. It's yours. And up I'd go. Do whatever you want to with it. Got no more need for it. Amen. Amen. Let him have it. Got something a whole lot better than this earth. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for your holy word. Our Heavenly Father, we're not ignorant. And you told us that we wouldn't be ignorant. You told us we're not children of darkness, but the children of the day. And Father, I do believe in my heart and my soul that something's coming in September. I don't know what, but I believe something is coming. But I know this, Lord. Tonight I look for the coming of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that could happen for me, for anybody else in this house. And I say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. In thy blessed, righteous, holy, sweet name I pray. And for Jesus' sake I ask it. And amen.
Amen.
Amen.